Just got some fantastic news, people. Thank you very much, by the way, for listening. We appreciate you. We appreciate you sticking with us through quarantine, and people are locked down a little bit now. I don't know exactly the local guidelines, but it's tight again. But we appreciate you being out there, especially now that sports are coming back. This is the place to be. And I was just told, John, by Funch, short breaks today, which means more us. More us. All right, a rare LeBron James rookie card is sold for an incredible $1.8 million. This is a 2003 rookie card with a personal autograph from LeBron and a piece of LeBron's jersey embedded in the card. There are only 23 of these cards made. Only 23 of these cards made. 4 years ago, you could have bought this LeBron card for $15,000. Now it went for $1.8 million. John, are you starting to understand the value of investing in sports cards? And if I'm going to invest in one young player in sports right now, whose card should I buy?
If it's a rookie card, you should go back and get Mike Trout's rookie card, because he has a chance to be the greatest baseball player
of all time
ever.
Yeah.
The LeBron rookie card, that it went for $1.8 million for a guy who's still playing and might win the MVP, is astounding to me. But you mentioned they only made 23 of them. I'm not a sports collectibles guy. I never will be. So I wouldn't do it. But I can see, you know, LeBron has a chance to go down as the greatest player in basketball history. So that guy might get his money back. But keep in mind, Mace, as we learned from that Maguire-Sosa 30 for 30, Todd McFarlane, the comic book guy, bought all those home run balls. Maguire's, Sosa's, all those ones that broke all the Bonds. He's got them all. And they've all just shrunk in value. They've lost 80%. Of their value. So it's not a sure thing if you get into sports collectibles.
No, it's definitely not. But that's the right idea, is to get that exclusive one. I just saw there's a Mike Trout card selling for $85,000. That's the most valuable Mike Trout rookie card. That's crazy.
Yeah, if I had to invest in one person for memorabilia, it would be Trout.
But think about this. 4 years ago, you could have bought that LeBron card for $15,000. Now it's $1.8 million.
Well, good for LeBron. He doesn't get any of it. But, I think that's deserving of his history, because, you know, if he leads the Lakers to a championship this year, he vaults into the conversation as the greatest player ever.
Yep.
All right, Mace, even though baseball is opening this week, officials in Canada announced the Blue Jays cannot play at their home stadium in Toronto. They don't want anything to do with a traveling league coming into Canada. When I first heard this news, I thought, well, screw you, Canada. You're not doing anything to help us. We're trying to get back to sports, and you're basically shutting the door on us. And then I thought, well, Canada has a national coronavirus policy. They've done a much better job than we have of keeping the virus out. And maybe they are doing the right thing. What do you think of the way Canada's government is handling the Blue Jays?
I would do it exactly the same way. Right now, Canada's averaging 211 cases a day, and I think we're averaging 70,000 or something like that. I mean, if we were to go up to Canada and just drive up to the border right now, we would be turned away. We can't get into Canada. We can't fly into Canada. They don't want us. Why would they invite COVID to come and play in their very, very clean sandbox? I think that Canada made the right decision. I understand they're doing it with the NHL, but they've had a lot of testing.
That's in a bubble.
They've got two bubbles basically going on up there. That to me makes sense. But I understand why Canada would say thanks, but no thanks.
How big of a disadvantage is it for the Blue Jays?
No, I don't think it's much of one.
They're
not playing at home anyway.
Right.
They're not playing.
They would have been able to sleep in their own beds. It looks like they may go to Pittsburgh if they can work the schedule out.
Yeah.
And play their home games at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. But it's not a fan's disadvantage, because no fans are going to any games anywhere. I thought the logical thing would be to send them to Detroit, because it's right across the river there. But it looks like Pittsburgh is what they're focused on. They're probably going to end up going there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful park. The dream team of Martin Scorsese and Jamie Foxx are apparently about to make the film version of the life of Mike Tyson, Jamie Foxx, and Scorsese. Count me in. What do you think of that project? And what other athlete's life story should be brought to the screen?
First of all, I agree with you. Love the idea of Jamie Foxx playing Mike Tyson. I think it would be great. And Scorsese doing it makes it even better. Sports figures who we haven't seen their life story yet. I've always wondered, that is somebody going to make the life story of John Wooden? How he completely dominated the thing. And what I've been told, what's holding it up, is that the guys who have the rights won't allow the dark side. They won't allow, like, Sam Gilbert into the script. And as long as that's happening, it'll never get made unless it becomes like a Disney movie.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What's the point of that? Where's the dramatic tension? John Wooden, and we had a chance to meet him and interview him, was a bit like a kindergarten teacher.
Right.
You have to have the dark side or there's no dramatic tension. To me, that's the fascinating part of that story.
Right, and Mike Tyson has it built in.
But yeah, Mike Tyson's got it built in, exactly. My thoughts were, I think a Tiger Woods film would be really, really good. He would have to release his life rights to somebody in order to make that movie.
But will not happen as long as he's alive.
There's a lot of drama in that. The other thing is his wife could certainly sell her life rights. and then the other one is Pat Tillman. Pat Tillman would be a fantastic choice for a biopic. Gave up his football career after 9/11, was killed tragically in a friendly fire incident I'm pretty sure it was in Afghanistan.
Right, but you know what? You're right. On paper, that looks great. The problem is Pat Tillman's family does not like the government. And so it would be hard to get that made. They are not fans of how his story was handled. They felt like they were lied to. Particularly his brother has been very outspoken about this. So
yeah, they were lied to for a while. For a while they were.
I don't know. You're right. For a subject, that's fantastic. The politics of getting that made would be difficult.
Yeah, yeah, true.
All right, Mace. Antonio Brown has announced he's retiring.
Yeah,
now,
this is the new one.
Yeah, a lot of people don't believe him. He announced it earlier today on social media. People think that if a team showed any interest in him at all, that Brown would come running back to the NFL. But I think you can make the argument that even though his career ended in a tremendous flameout, that Antonio Brown is a top 10 receiver in the Super Bowl era and is going to the Hall of Fame. Agree or disagree, Antonio Brown, whether he plays another game or not, goes to the NFL Hall of Fame.
It's a good question. By the way, this is when they were talking about last week, I think this subject came up. I've always said Antonio Brown, I don't think will play another game in the NFL. Now, I do think that this is just an erratic turn. He's a very erratic guy. I think he's maybe retired four times in the last year and then somehow rises back to decide he wants to play. Antonio Brown, I can't do it without looking at numbers.
I got him in front of me.
Okay, good. Right, so, lay him on me.
Okay, here's his receptions starting in 2013. All right. I'll give you his receptions and his touchdowns, okay?
Yep.
110 receptions, 8 touchdowns. 129 receptions, 13 touchdowns. By the way, the 129 led the NFL. His 1,698 receiving yards led the NHL and NFL. 2015, a career high 136 receptions led the NFL, 10 touchdowns. Next year, 106, 12 touchdowns. Next year, 101, 9 touchdowns. Next year, 104, 15 touchdowns. At one point or another, he's led the NFL in overall receptions twice, overall receiving yards twice, touchdowns once, and he has 4 different seasons where he's double digits in touchdowns. He's only 32. He played 9 years in Pittsburgh, 1 in New England, but I will say it just like I said it with Gronk. If Gronkowski and Antonio Brown never play another down of football, they both go into the Hall of Fame.
Well,
Gronk on the first ballot. Antonio Brown, maybe not first ballot, but eventually gets in.
Antonio Brown, the stat that jumped out at me is he's sixth all-time in touchdowns scored.
Right.
He's got 80 touchdowns scored. Only five guys have scored more touchdowns than him. So, yeah, he's absolutely a Hall of Famer. And I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And what a speech that would be.
Oh, God. Can you imagine him unloading? Who knows what would be said?
Be fantastic.
All right. Aaron Rodgers, Danica Patrick have officially split after 2 years. Question. Do relationships between two famous people ever really work?
Well, you used to have a saying, never date somebody with a headshot.
That is correct.
And you and Juan both have headshots, and you've been together, and you've been happy for a long time. So
yes.
You don't even believe your own mantra, but I think it's a mantra that makes sense. Someone always has to play second fiddle if you get into a celebrity marriage. And a lot of these celebrity marriages are falling victim to COVID. Have you noticed that? Like a lot of celebrity couples have broken up.
Because they're spending too much time together.
Right, because they realize, oh my gosh, I didn't know she was or he was this miserable.
You are a horrible person.
Yeah, so I don't know who's next, but I don't think we've seen our last celebrity couple fall by the wayside.
You go to the other wing of the house? I don't want to see you again until this is over.
Although Aaron Rodgers only seems to date famous people. Like
He apparently is dating now. And she may have been the one that broke it up, is Shailene Woodley, the actress Shailene Woodley. Do you know her?
I do. And, you know, before that, he dated Olivia Munn.
So he's on a roll.
Yeah,
he only dates famous people.
Yeah, he only dates girls with a headshot. All right, Mace. Amazon stock went down for 5 days in a row last week and ended the week at its lowest price since February. Amazon shares are still up 60% year-to-date as of Friday's close. I didn't check it today.
It is up 234 points.
Okay, so you always say, when it hits the floor, buy some more.
Yep.
Is that what happened today? Did people see that go down 5 days in a row and jumped on Amazon while it was struggling?
Well, you know, there's an old rule, John, that says, buy the stock from the company that you use all the time.
Oh, gosh. Amazon, I should buy nothing but Amazon.
Amazon may be the company I use more than any other company. If I think about the stocks that I own, you know, I own Amazon. I own Google. I use Google all the time. I use Apple. I use Apple all the time. You can't go wrong, I think, buying the stocks of the future. And I think Amazon is a stock of the future. There is no sign of it slowing down. And one of the byproducts of the pandemic has been that Amazon has become even more of a revenue generator than it was before. I never like to give stock advice on the radio because who am I? But when I see a stock tumble the way Amazon did last week, it was predictable that it would be up $234 today, over $3,000 a share.
I waited too long. I should have moved Friday.
Should have jumped in. Well, that's one of those stocks that won't split, so you can buy like a slice. You can buy a percentage of a stock of Amazon now because they don't appear to be a company that's ever gonna split. $3,100. Yikes.
Jeez.
All right. Bubba Wallace, the lone African-American driver in NASCAR, raced at Bristol Motor Speedway last week. There were about 20,000 to 30,000 fans there. He was booed when he was introduced, and fans cheered when he crashed out of the race. Also, a Confederate flag was flown over Bristol. John, how much progress does NASCAR still have to make?
A lot, but the fact that they even acknowledged that they got to get rid of the Confederate flag was a huge step for them. If you would have said even 5 years ago that you were going to get rid of Confederate flags at NASCAR races, people would have laughed at you. Now, it's obviously a passionate issue, but they're in lockstep that they should get rid of it. And the support that Bubba Wallace has received from inside NASCAR has been pretty impressive, has been pretty staggering. So, yeah, they got a long way to go, but what's that saying? The arc of justice is bending in the correct way, and for a lot of years it wasn't.
The moral arc of justice is long, but it always bends. No, the moral arc of the universe is long, but it always bends toward justice.
And I think it finally is in that case.
Yeah. I think NASCAR has changed. I just think their fans haven't changed yet. Their fans are going to need to catch up because NASCAR has done all the right thing as a governing body.
But, Mace, that's always the way it is. When Branch Rickey brought Jackie Robinson up to the Dodgers, he knew he was going to get called the N-word and yelled at.
Yep.
But he knew that he had to start the fire that then would bring racial equality to baseball. And now it's looked at as one of the most historic things.
Yep.
The fans are always last. The public is always last to, there is no stopping an idea whose time has come. And it's time to get rid of Confederate flags at NASCAR races. You won't get rid of them overnight, but the fact that NASCAR is acting on it is a really good sign.
Yeah.
All right, according to the website The Ringer, Mace, we are at a crossroads with not just sports, but sports media. Okay. In a column by Brian Curtis, it's titled, Sports Are Coming Back, Is Sports Media Coming Back With It? He talks about how beat writers, broadcasters, everybody are going to be covering sports. We just had Joe Davis on. He mentioned he won't be traveling with the Dodgers. Bill Plunkett comes on our show all the time. He doubts he will be on the road with the Dodgers this year. Michael and I are doing all Laker games from the ESPN LA studios. When sports eventually works its way all the way back to the way it used to be, will sports media come back with it, or is sports media changed forever?
I think sports media is changed forever. If I am a newspaper, and right now, I have a beat writer that's covering the Dodgers. And they're not traveling. But they're able to get content over Zoom, watch the games on TV, and get content over Zoom, and ultimately ask questions because they can't ask questions over Zoom. Why do I ever need to put that guy on the road again?
And think of the money you would save.
Yeah.
I mean, no per diem, no hotel, no airfare. It's a staggering amount of money. I have a friend that works for one of the big TV networks. He's one of the CFOs for one of the big TV networks. And he used to go to New York four times a year. And he says non-essential travel is changed forever. He doesn't think he'll ever, he said, because they've reinvented all these meetings that he went to New York for over Zoom, and he thinks that's the way they're going to be forever.
Yeah.
I just think that...
Is the contention that there are jobs that are going to disappear?
I don't know disappear, but there are travel expenses that are going to disappear.
Right, right.
And as my friend put it, we're never getting that money back. Budgets are going to reflect that moving forward because every company has taken a bath. I went to a restaurant over the weekend. I know you're not ready to do that yet, but I dined outside in Manhattan Beach, and there were eight tables. And I thought to myself, you know, if this restaurant, and the food was good, if this restaurant keeps these eight tables filled from 5 o'clock until 11 p.m., they still can't make enough money to stay open. Because normally they have 20 tables that are open inside.
Yep.
So every company is going to have to find a way to save money. And sports companies are no different. I think that they're going to reinvent travel expenses and how they do things. And I think anybody is subject to it. It's going to be a whole new world out there.
Yep. All right, there you have it. There is your scoop for today. Coming up next, anti-vaxxer and anti-masker. You know who I'm talking about?
I think so.
Let's get into that next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, yeah. We got actual games. Last night, Dodgers played an exhibition game against the Arizona Diamondbacks at Dodger Stadium with their cutout fans throughout the stadium, and they're adding more. We talked to Lon Rosen earlier today. They're adding more fans, including right behind home plate, cutout fans. The sound noise piped in, sounded just like a baseball game. And the Dodgers won. They got a grand slam from Cody Bellinger in the first inning. And Mitch White, who provides them great depth. I don't think he'll be in the 30-man roster, but he's going to be on the 60-man roster, so he will be available when they need an extra arm to go long or to make a spot start. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons why the Dodgers have such an advantage, John, is that they have the best 60-man roster in baseball. They have so much talent, 30 to 60. And that's when we talk about depth. It is a cliche, like Joe said, but they have so much depth. That 30 to 60, those next 30 players are so friggin' good. It is going to be a huge advantage for the Dodgers as we get through the season, although I still think it comes down to the last weekend of the season.
You're wrong. It's a runaway. The Dodgers are going to run away with that division.
Hope you're right.
And I think they are almost a lock to go to the World Series. That's how good I think they are.
Almost a lock to go to the World Series. Wow.
It's just weird things like last year. Weird things happen in the playoffs. But I know they're going to win the division, and it's not going to come down to the last weekend of the season.
Let's shift to this. Let's shift to this. So Dwight Howard is causing problems down in the bubble. So he has been cited twice now for not wearing a mask. What were you able to find on his Instagram feed, Funch? Anything besides the vaxxing stuff?
He was also asked where his mask was. He was conversating with people in the background, and people were asking him like where his mask was and stuff like that. And they're also giving him an explanation on when you can wear a mask, where you can wear a mask and stuff like that. So we have all that stuff.
Let's listen to some of that. First of all, this is the weird one. Play the one. He was asked if he was on an Instagram feed, Instagram Live, and he was asked if he believes in vaccinations.
Do I believe in vaccinations? No, I don't. That's my personal opinion, but no, I don't.
Where the hell does this come from?
He's not the only one who...
Right, but it's a radical, dangerous fringe of people that don't believe in vaccinations.
Yeah, I know. I have some friends that don't believe in vaccinations. I do, but they don't.
You like their kids don't get vaccinated?
Correct.
So their kids go to school and infect other people with measles?
As you know, I have a child on the autism spectrum. I know one mom who is convinced that a vaccination gave her kid autism.
But it is... there is no scientific evidence to support that.
Right, but she's convinced of it. So I'm just telling you, there are people like Dwight Howard out there.
Right,
You cannot tell this woman different. It won't make... I mean, it's just what she believes.
Right, she doesn't want to believe science. She wants to believe what she wants to believe. Now, I don't know what that says about Dwight, the fact that apparently even a vaccine for coronavirus is going to be unusual. Do you think that your anti-vaxxer friends are going to get... vaccinated for coronavirus?
I don't know. One of my grandmothers was a Christian Scientist, and they didn't believe in taking any medicine for anything.
Yeah, I dated a Christian Scientist. He was nuts.
Yeah, so, I mean, these are personal decisions that are going to affect your quality of life, but... Like, my grandma didn't want to take medicine for stuff that was obvious. Like, you know me, I'm a walking medicine cabinet.
Sure.
I've been vaccinated. My family's been vaccinated for everything. But there are people out there that are like Dwight that don't believe in him. There aren't very many of them.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, because you're putting, it's the same with masks. You're putting other people at risk. Here is... Dwight on where, again, he's been cited twice. I don't know if one of them was through the snitch hotline or what, but Dwight apparently hasn't been wearing his mask all the time down there. Play a little bit of this from his IG Live.
With my mask at, I'm by myself. Everybody keep talking about these dogs with masks. Ooh, I'm gonna be wearing my mask. We gotta wear our mask. I'm by myself. And I need to wear your mask. Did I go to the laundry mat as a kid? Yeah,
wear your mask. Wear it. What is the harm in wearing it?
He said he wasn't around any other people, right?
Yeah, but it's still, wear your mask. He's been cited twice now by people inside the bubble for not wearing the mask. Play by the rules. The rules were set up to protect everybody. Play by them.
Dave McMenamin has a story about this on ESPN.com. They asked Frank Vogel about it. He says, everybody has to make personal choices with this. Worldwide, everybody's making personal choices. for... Oh, you got it? Go ahead, Funch, play it.
He does, and he was part of those programs over Zoom. And, you know, everybody has to make personal choices with this. I mean, worldwide, you know, everybody's making personal choices. For us, we want to make sure we follow the NBA protocols that they've laid out for us to help us remain as safe as possible. There's no 100% risk-free environment, including inside the bubble. And, you know, we just want to be as diligent as we can, you know, with following those protocols.
All right, so for example, Mace, when I went out on Saturday night, Lisa and I, where we parked the car, we put on masks, and we walked to the restaurant. In the walk from the car to the restaurant, I would say we saw maybe 30 people.
Okay.
15 of them roughly had masks on. The other 15 didn't.
What is going on?
So Dwight's just in that 15%. Or
he's an anti-masker.
That doesn't wear masks. But, I mean, I didn't say anything to the people that had their masks off. I was just glad I had mine on.
See, even when I go for a walk, and then I go for a walk for a few miles every morning, every time I come upon somebody else who's walking or somebody that's working in their yard, I always pull my mask up.
Wait, do they always have a mask?
Always.
Yeah, your town is different than mine.
Yeah,
mine,
very different.
Manhattan Beach is about a... And Lindsay, you're in Ohio. So do people in Ohio wear masks?
I think it's like 50-50, but over the past week, I think a lot of the different counties have... they have orders now where you're required to wear them, but I still.
But do people do it? Like if you go to the store, like inside of a store, everybody. I went to two different stores today. Everybody inside the store had masks on, but outside, about 50%.
When I went in the store this morning to get some waffle mix, everybody had a mask.
Yeah, inside people are being good about it. It's outside where people are about 50-50. Yeah,
but I think it was just a couple weeks ago, like going into Walmart, it's 50-50. And maybe even
now,
like
Walmart
60,
now
40.
Instituted a national mask rule. If you go into a Walmart, you have to wear a mask.
Good, they should.
Yeah, but I don't think Dwight's been caught inside without a mask, has he? I think it's just outside, and that's what he's been reported for. And outside, about half the people I've seen aren't wearing them.
Yeah, I don't know where he... outside, you're saying outside in the NBA bubble?
No, I'm saying I know one time that they reported him. He was walking around like out by the pool, and he had no mask on, but there was no one near him, but still somebody called the snitch line and reported it.
Yeah, he says, quote, "They sanitize everything. We're getting tested every day, so it's not like we're around anybody that can give it to us because we all get tested together, and so we're only around each other. We're only around everybody that's in the bubble. We don't see any outsiders. We don't have any contact with any outsiders. So I understand the whole wear a mask and all that stuff, so nobody is not trying to do anything out of order. But, you know, again, I understand that there has always been some type of controversy somewhere, and I'm not in no controversy. You know what I'm saying? I get it. It's some clickbait." So I'm not sure what he is saying in that statement.
Well, it is kind of weird. In his, I don't know if the right word is the phrase would be in his defense, but it is kind of strange that they are all over these guys to wear masks at every minute, and then starting on Wednesday, they're going to be competing against each other on the court with no masks. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, that makes it all the more important that you wear your mask when you're not playing.
Yeah, but I mean...
Playing is where it can potentially pass around.
Right.
So masks are going to potentially...
Well, I'm not going to dispute the fact that everybody should wear a mask. I think they should. But I also understand that if Dwight was walking around inside without a mask, I think that he'd be very ripe for criticism. But if he's outside without a mask in the bubble, I can see where he's like, all right, look, especially if he's socially distanced. There are people, there are much worse violators than him. By the way, 346 players tested yesterday for coronavirus, zero positives.
Yep. It's working.
Yeah.
It's absolutely working, which is great news. All right, coming up next for you, John, I have analyzed and I would present for you my case for MVP in the American League and the National League. Both are surprising picks.
Wait a minute. They haven't played any games yet.
I'm still projecting MVP for AL and NL. That's what we'd be doing normally if it was April.
That's true. Well, so, AL is easy. National League is not. I'll be anxious to see who you picked in the National League.
Okay, good. All right, that's okay. Coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. John, I'm going to ask you a question that could be perceived as controversial. Okay. Have you ever tried a hallucinogenic? Acid, LSD.
I don't think so.
Magic mushroom.
I don't think so.
Never magic mushroom.
No, although one of my idiot fraternity brothers were driving to Mexico. And I was driving. It was my car.
Yep.
And we get to the border. And one of my idiot fraternity brothers mentions, oh, crap. I got mushrooms in my bag.
Oh.
And I'm like, how stupid. I had like visions of being locked up in a Mexican jail. He did not get caught. But needless to say, that guy got a ride home in a different car. But that's my, whenever somebody says mushrooms, that's what I think about, that some moron friend of mine tried to sneak him in and got away with it into Mexico. But I've never tried them. Have you?
Yes, I have.
All
I tried
those
them in
things,
college.
Or just mushrooms?
No, just mushrooms. That's the only one I've ever tried. I tried it in college. There was I was in a guy named Rick Schaefer's room. Schaefer, I recalled him, and he had all of his albums sort of laid out on the floor, leaning against his stereo. And the one right on the front was the Styx album, Mr. Roboto.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
And that robot.
Domo.
When you're on shrooms is the scariest thing in the world. Is the scariest thing in the world. But I interviewed, there's a movie out called Have a Good Trip on Netflix that is all about celebrities talking about their crazy hallucinogenic trips, and people like Sting and Deepak Chopra and all these people participate in this thing. It's a really good documentary. It's called Have a Good Trip. Donna Carey, who directed it, was also David Letterman's head writer. And he joins me on the Culture Pop podcast. Just went online, stevemason.com, listen and subscribe. But it's fascinating stuff. Sue Kolinsky, who does the podcast with me, had many more trips than I did. Many more trips.
Giving new meaning to the phrase Crazy Sue.
She went on a long vacation. All right. So MVP, we're at that point of the year where it's the week that baseball season starts. It's Giants versus Dodgers on Thursday at Dodger Stadium. And so it's time to sort of cast our lot with players that we think will win awards this year. John, I'll just ask you. You said National League Rookie of the Year is tricky. Who do you like?
Well, American League, I'd pick Trout because he finishes first or second every year. But let's make it harder on ourselves and say Trout opts out because his wife's pregnant.
Okay.
All right? So that means we've got to pick people that aren't someone other than Mike Trout. And I'm not, on a matter of principle, I'm not picking any Astros.
Yep. I have no Astros on my list. I've got, let me see, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 5 names on my American League list.
I would lean, well, I'll throw a Yankee in there because I think the Yankees are going to have a monster year. So I'll put Aaron Judge on my list.
Aaron Judge is absolutely on my list. Last year, 921 OPS. He only had 372 at-bats at 27 homers.
Yeah, so he would have to be there. I'm trying to think of, like, what is now the Red Sox, I don't think, are going to be good enough. I think that if I had to, I would put Francisco Lindor on there.
Francisco Lindor absolutely is there. 284, 32 homers, 74 RBIs last year, 854 OPS and a gold glove.
And he's finished in the top 10 MVP voting 3 times already.
3 times, yeah. He's an unbelievable player. Unbelievable player.
And
yeah, it'll be sad to see him playing in New York next year.
Yeah, it will be sad. It will be sad.
Right. I don't think I'll leave Nolan Arenado off because I don't think the Rockies are going to be good enough. So I'll put Paul Goldschmidt as my third one in case the Diamondbacks take off.
Okay, so that's your National League.
Yeah. So, I'm moving to the National League. Okay, so National League, I would put Goldschmidt would be one of my spots. I think Mookie Betts might only play 1 year with the Dodgers, so I'll put him there because I think it would be really hard for Bellinger to repeat. And then I'm trying to think. Is it too I don't know if like who would you pick off the Braves? Would you pick
Let me tell you, that's my pick. Ronald Acuña Jr. Last year, 280, 41 homers, 101 RBIs, a 365 on base percentage, an 883 OPS, and he's moving into his age 22 season. He is going to be a star. I think he's going to win the MVP this year in the National League.
Yeah, he's got
Christian
a lot of-
Yelich, too. You got to put him on the list.
Yeah, my list is Christian Yelich.
He won it 2 years ago.
Yelich, Acuña Jr., Bellinger, and Mookie. Those are the four.
Yeah, probably.
In the American League, I've got Trout, although I'll take a random pick to beat Trout. The rest of I have Trout, I have Lindor, and then I've got three Yankees. So Aaron Judge is one of mine. We talked about him. Giancarlo Stanton, who was hurt most of last year, but went 38-100 with an 852 OPS in 2017, I've got there. And then my sleeper pick is Gleyber Torres, who is just, he's entering his age 23 season. Last year, he batted 278, 38 homers, and 90 RBIs. He's my sleeper pick. So I'm going to go with two young guys. I'm going to go with Gleyber Torres in the American League to beat Mike Trout, and I'm going to go in the National League to Ronald Acuña Jr. Two of the really, really bright young players in the game. And don't sleep on Juan Soto. He's another guy who could get into an MVP race. He'll eventually be a most valuable player one of these years. But again, really young and really ascending.
Yeah, Acuña's young, though, man.
He is. He is really young. That's the crazy thing about him. He's entering his age 22 season. And he's already a stud. Just a stud. And the Yankees, I think, I mean, based on talent, based on purely talent, the Dodgers and the Yankees have got more talent than everybody else.
And you know what? Let me put Ohtani on my list of American League MVPs in case he stays healthy for a whole year. I think if he stays healthy for a whole year, he'd be really fun to, you know, like let's say he pitches, you know, 10 to 15 games and he hits 300 and hits 25 homers.
Yep.
You know, that'd be pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Pitching every Sunday.
Yeah.
Every
Very
Sunday.
Weird.
That is weird.
Very
that is weird. All right. Coming up next for you. John, I've got. Crap. I've got something here. Okay.
I was going to say, what happened? Your computer froze or something?
Yeah, my computer froze for a second. Okay. So there is a brand new way to get ready for fans in stadiums. Have you heard about it?
No. Oh, by the way, let me make a correction. The reason I was mentioning Goldschmidt is Goldschmidt left Arizona and went to St. Louis.
Went to St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I threw him on the list, because St. Louis always seems to win something. But yeah. No, what are they doing with fans in stadiums?
I will tell you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Radio Tinder. I totally screwed up. I worked up a big tease, and we'll have to save that for the top of the hour. In the meantime, Linz has got Radio Tinder for us. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. The Washington Nationals announced today that Dr. Anthony Fauci will throw out the first pitch on Thursday when they open their season against the Yankees. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is the nation's leading voice in the COVID-19 pandemic, and he's weighed in regularly on the return of sports, you know, throughout this whole pandemic. He's also a huge Nationals fan. Have you guys ever thrown out an honorary first pitch at a baseball game? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. Matter of fact, there's a famous story where Mason and I once got sent to a minor league game in Fullerton, and the idea was I would throw out the first pitch, and then Mason would sing the national anthem. And so I threw out the first pitch, and then the guy comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for our national anthem." And I'm waiting for them to announce Mason, and Mason's on the top steps of the dugout. and they play some recording of the anthem. I have never, they forgot. And Mason just stormed to the parking lot.
John, I think it was actually a little bit worse. I think I was standing on the field with a microphone in my hand.
What?
When they started playing the recorded national anthem.
That was our guy Ed Hart was running that team, the Fullerton Flyers. And I think like four people got fired that night over there.
Now, I have thrown out the ceremonial first pitch a couple of times at minor league games. And I honestly, and even though I can throw my slider for a strike, it's just an automatic strike. I decided that I would much rather sing the national anthem. I'm more comfortable singing the national anthem than I am throwing out the ceremonial first pitch.
The first pitch, my biggest fear is that I will throw it in the dirt. If you sail it high, nobody really cares. But if you throw it in the dirt, everybody thinks you're a wuss. So I always aim for the catcher's head.
Yeah,
I throw it right at the catcher's head.
As I remember, you were on the money at that particular game in every instance.
Yeah, I've done like three or four of them. I'm always a little bit high. I don't think I normally throw strikes, but I throw it like right at the catcher's head. It reminds me, I have this friend of mine that's a news anchor in Phoenix. And she, one day, I'm having dinner with her, and I said, "Why do you have a ball and a glove in the back seat of your car?" And she says, "Oh, I'm throwing out the first pitch at the Diamondbacks game on Friday." And I said, "Have you ever done that?" She goes, "No, never." She goes, "I've never thrown a baseball in my life. I put that back there because I was going to practice." And we get out of the car. I go, "Well, let's pull over. Just pull over to that park right there." And she takes the ball and throws it straight into the ground. I mean, straight into the ground. I said, "All right, we're going to take half an hour. We're going to work through this." And I like got a release point up near the top of her shoulders.
Oh,
and
you worked on a release point for her.
Yeah,
good.
But it was a lollipop that she threw, but she hit the catcher's glove. Had she not mentioned that, or had I not brought it up, she would have been right up there with 50 Cent and some of these other people that have
just tossing it into the ground.
Have you ever seen 50 Cent's first pitch?
Oh, God, yeah.
It goes straight into the ground.
Yeah, it's insane.
So if you ever get asked to throw out a first pitch, make sure you practice it once or twice. It's not as simple as just pick up a ball and throw it. If you've never done it, you can really get embarrassed. Funch?
I think I was going to say, I think we could also use an appearance when you're mentioning national anthems. We could do a Broadway John version of a national anthem. That would be great.
I've done it many times. I'd be happy to do it. I'd be happy to do the Marvin Gaye version. Happy to do the
okay. You got a whole
the traditional
of them, huh?
Version, yeah.
You've got the whatever. Marvin Gaye.
Oh, would you call
say,
your?
Well, you know, but
can
it was funny.
You
okay.
See,
true story. That was at the 1983 NBA All Star Game.
Yep.
Lon Rosen, who was on our show at the beginning of the show tonight or today, talking about the cutouts at Dodger Stadium.
Yep.
At the time, Lon was director of marketing for the Lakers, and he will tell you this. And Jeannie was also running the forum. Jeannie Buss was running the forum. They both thought as soon as Marvin Gaye sang the national anthem to a different tune that they were both in huge trouble. Lon thought he was getting fired.
Yep.
And Jeannie saw as a bootleg copy of that tape, but they both loved it. They thought it was a great version. But at the time, people like criticized Marvin Gaye for not being traditional. It was a really big deal. I don't think you could do it now and not get in trouble.
Well, I mean, Fergie tried to do a creative version
got
of the
killed.
National anthem and got killed. And by the way, I hated the version of the national anthem. It was like Betty Boop singing the
it
national
was
anthem.
It
was the weirdest thing.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, if you don't do it, if you don't do it traditional, you get killed.
All right, so next one, a unique movie viewing experience, a floating cinema, is coming to Columbus, Ohio. It will be made up of 12 to 24 mini boats holding up to 8 people per boat. Organizers say tickets will require you to purchase the whole boat to ensure that groups will be seated with friends and family only and to allow for social distancing on and between boats. A couple perks they're going to have, free popcorn and other snacks and drinks will be available to purchase before they set sail. Should they bring the floating cinema to a Southern California marina near us? And would you guys go?
Lindsay,
swipe left or right?
How swipe left? How big is this boat? You can't. Are you like? Are you?
No, it's a series of boats, right? You have your own boat.
Okay, so I can be on a boat with 8 other people and be 6 feet away from other people.
Seven. Well, the boats are going to be separate, so it's just like a drive-in movie theater, but for boats.
Do I?
And you don't have to be 6 feet away from people in your household,
right? But you do, like the three of us would have to be 6 feet away from each other.
We would.
Well,
we'd have to take different boats.
If you were paying attention, I said that you it, the. the tickets, when you buy them, you have to be seated with friends and family only in the same household, or people in the same household. So,
well, most people don't have eight people in their household.
All right.
And you
well,
said you have to buy the boat?
Up to eight. Yes, it can seat up to eight. So you could just buy the ticket for four people in your household, or however many.
Okay. John is a definite no on this.
Yeah,
I'm confused by all of the rules associated with this, and frankly, I don't think I'm smart enough to figure it out. On top of that, I hate boats. I had to cover the America's Cup. One of the very first things I had to do when I came to California was cover the America's Cup. And so it was the year Dennis Connor was in the America's Cup, and I was on Dennis Connor's family yacht for an entire week following those races, and I got so sick. I will never go on boats again. I'm just not a boat guy, so I'm all out. I swipe left on this boat drive-in idea.
Yeah, I swipe left,
too.
All
you need to know is that it's just like a drive-in movie theater, but instead of cars, you have boats. And I think it sounds awesome, and I hope that they do it in Marina Del Rey, because I would totally go.
All right, after you do, report back to us and let us know how close another person was to you.
All right, I think Greg Bergman might be in on the idea, maybe to watch some Dodgers.
Of course, Greg Bergman's in on all these ideas.
Exactly. All right, White Limousine, a brick-and-mortar love song to country music legend Dolly Parton, is now opened in Nashville after delays from the coronavirus. The rooftop bar and restaurant opened Friday on top of the Graduate Hotel in Music City. The space was inspired by Dolly Parton, featuring a chicken wire statue of the singer, and it's decked out in various shades of pink. Quite gaudy, if you ask me. The name comes from Parton's 1989 album of the same name. Are you guys fans of themed restaurants? And if so, which is your favorite? Swipe left or swipe right?
A fan of...
themed restaurants.
Themed restaurants. I tend to go no. I mean, I think themed restaurants can be pretty cheesy.
So I'm trying to think of an example, Lindsay, like Medieval Times would be a theme restaurant. Chuck E. Cheese would be a theme restaurant, right?
Oh, they had the All-Star Cafe, right. I think it was called.
Oh, yeah. What was Planet Hollywood?
Okay, now here's the
Hard Rock.
Yeah, okay, here's the important thing. Is Benihana a theme restaurant?
No.
No, right, that's just a restaurant.
I'm a huge Benihana fan.
Me too.
Jimmy Buffett has one. I think it's called Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Right. I'm not a fan of theme restaurants, but I am a huge fan of Benihana, so I'm probably right on the fence.
I'm not a fan of chain restaurants. You know, I like to go to a place that's not a chain restaurant. Like, my grandmother always went to Red Lobster and Outback Steakhouse and Olive Garden.
You don't like Fleming's, you don't like Houston's, you don't like those kind of places. You don't like Yard House?
Yard House, they're okay. It's more like the Chili's, I'm just going to call out restaurants I don't like. The Chili's, the Applebee's, the Denny's.
Applebee's highly underrated.
Applebee's is really not rated, shouldn't be rated at all. It should not be rated. I hope I'm not pissing off advertisers, but those are the restaurants I don't like.
I live behind a mall that has Olive Garden, Chili's, Islands, all of them great.
The best thing about about chain restaurants, though, is that the food pretty much tastes the same wherever you are. That's something you can always count on.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, my mom loves the Olive Garden. I think the older you get, the more likely you are to like the Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah. But I love
I think
Olive
you
Garden.
Go into the Olive Garden, it's all old people.
Two words. Unlimited breadsticks.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
All right, last one really quick here, guys. A Ukrainian news anchor handled an embarrassing moment with grace when she lost part of her tooth during a live broadcast.
What?
Mariska Padalko was reading the news live on Ukraine's TSN channel when a piece of her front tooth fell out.
Oh.
It's kind of funny if you watch the video. Instead of interrupting the broadcast or calling attention to it, she casually put her hand in front of her mouth. She grabbed the piece of her tooth and totally continued as normal, complete veteran move you never would have noticed. Assuming you guys have had embarrassing moments on air over your tenured careers, did you handle them with grace, swipe left, or swipe right?
Mason would be the opposite of grace.
I'm going to swipe right. I think I've been as graceful as I could be given the circumstances.
Totally the same thing. Mace, always picture them together.
I was thinking about something, and I say this in the spirit of the fact that I admire your willingness to try anything. I think it's one of the staples that has made you a good broadcaster is that there's nothing that you won't attempt.
Yes.
But having said that, has there ever been a more publicly uncoordinated athlete than you? They for some reason they put the mace plant out today. I mean, they must have.
I don't know why they put it out. Thank you very much. Okay, everybody.
So the mace plant was he was playing in a charity basketball game and just fell unprovoked.
Hard
right
foul
onto his
by
face.
Corey Maggette. That's why that happened.
It's on tape. You all can watch it. Then in the swim race, you came out in the old school one piece swimsuit.
I did. It's true.
And I lapped you.
Well, I want to be let's be honest about that one. You trained. You actually had a coach.
Yeah.
I just flopped in the pool.
Right.
I hadn't been in a pool.
And then there was a boxing match once where I was the referee.
Well, I mean that was insane.
Yeah. Well, I think he was on something.
Oh yeah, he was on speed.
But I had to call it after 20 seconds because he was just pummeling you.
He had like half a bottle of Adderall.
Yeah, probably true. But in all three cases, you just got tagged. And yet you continue to agree to participate. What will be your next athletic endeavor, do you think?
Well, you know, what I like to say is I'll try anything once. I did the hot dog eating challenge, which I thought, you know, I acquitted myself well. Some people think that I win. I won.
Yeah. I think Slewa cheated.
I think
Slewa cheated also.
I think there's no evidence to say that you lost. That's what I think.
But, if I think about back, Lindsay, we used to do this show on TV, and there was some weird stuff that happened.
I left out the most important one. When you tried to jump over the bar, you shattered your foot in 10 places.
Shattered my foot. The other one I was thinking of, John, is do you remember when I had Bell's palsy and I kept doing the show anyway?
Yes.
Which was a really weird time when half my face was paralyzed and I went ahead and did the show anyway. I think I was mostly understandable.
Yeah. The most pissed I've ever been at you was whatever was like 2 months later, you walk in, you go, I can't believe I got Bell's palsy again. And I was like horrified. And I went, it was like 30 seconds before we're going on the air. I go, oh, my God, man, I'm so sorry. I can't believe – I mean, you work so hard to get over it, and, oh, God, what does the doctor say? It might be permanent, man, I don't know. And we come in the air, and he goes, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that was coming. That's a mean joke. That's a very cruel joke.
Oh, it was funny to me.
It was great. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a funny prank. So I've done some pretty stupid stuff very ungracefully in my career. There's nothing I wouldn't do. Like, for example – years ago, when I was working in Ohio, I was a crazy morning DJ guy. I got buried alive. I lived on a billboard for a week. I got stayed in a block of ice for 48 hours. I mean, I did all kinds of weird stuff, anything for promotion for the station. And I would do the same. I mean, if somebody at the station had a crazy idea, who would they bring it to first?
Probably the wacky Steve Mason.
Exactly. They'd bring it to me first. And you know what I'd say?
Sure, why not?
Hell yes.
I have to start thinking of some stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right, there you have your radio Tinder for today. Coming up next, Charles Robinson from Yahoo is going to join us. We'll talk some NFL. They have put some protocols in place. We'll see if that's going to keep the players happy enough to show up at camp this week. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.